today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio. In the grand tradition of everybody who's ever been hired at Code Pen, we do an introduction podcast introducing this new member of Code Pen, and that's exactly what we're doing this week. We have Stephen Shaw. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hello, hello. Doing well.
Welcome to the show. And to Code Pen itself, we are, as we record this, are quite literally in the first week you've ever worked here.
That is true. My first week.
It's true. And it's, we, you know, it's so far, not that, you know, not that we'd ever expect any less or anything, but I'm always so surprised at how smart people are. Maybe we're just so exciting or so lucky at getting good people, or so incredible in our hiring choices or what, but it's like I always expected. I feel like if I started at some new job, I'd be like, I need like 2 months to get acclimated. But that was
don't sell yourself short.
No, that was not the case for Mr. Stephen here. You have a ton of coding experience and has hopped right into our code base and is just being super productive and helpful immediately. In fact, we're going to push out some code later this afternoon that was kind of co-written by a bunch of us, including Mr. Stephen. So what's up? How did this even start? Like, did I just reach out to you? That's kind of been my strategy lately. Like, hey, you want to work at CodePen?
It's a good strategy. You know, that's a great opening line. it probably started going down about two months ago, something like that.
Yeah, so that's pretty quick in the grand scheme of going from wanting to hire somebody to being in the door.
Rapid. wasn't too bad of a process at all.
I mean internally I think this is probably common at any company, is that you at some point you maybe like kind of run out of like ideas on your like home Rolodex of people that you want to work, and thus use a job board. CodePen as a job board. Use our job board. It's great. You want to use it for free? Email us. Ask us to use the job board. It's lined up some really great hires with some really great companies, and we've used our own job board a number of times. But I would say that people tend to use the job board after the Rolodex has been flipped through entirely. You know, like I think it's preferable sometimes, because the second you use the job board posting, you need to be prepared for, well, you're going to get an influx of emails of people applying for that job. And that's nice, and that's what you wanted, but that's become somebody's job. Like, that's a big deal to have to go through all of those, because assuming you're not a dick, you have to really read and digest all of them and give them a proper response and let them know about the hiring schedule, and even if you're passing on them maybe light feedback as to why and that kind of stuff. That's a fire hose that if you can avoid because you found somebody in your Rolodex that you already know that you like, that's the kind of the way to go. And that's kind of what happened here. And I guess you were in that Rolodex. I've said the word Rolodex way too many times here. I'm going to stop saying it. It's over. I'm not saying it anymore. But we're there because you're a kind of a somewhat longtime CodePen community member, yeah?
Yeah. I've been on CodePen since at least 2013, I think, is my first pen on there. And then within my first 20 pins, I had one that I went viral, as the kids say.
Yeah, which one was it?
That was my absolute centering one. So at the time, I didn't know there was any connection between CSS tricks and CodePen.
Well,
but I made a CSS trick on CodePen and then tweeted it to you guys, and y'all retweeted it, and you know, it got like 200 likes, which was mind-blowing at the time.
Yeah,
for 2013 Twitter Stephen. And then Smashing Magazine ended up picking it up, and it ended up being a published article and in an ebook eventually, and all this just from a code pen that I got out there. And that was super exciting.
That's
a
great story. So it really kind of I don't know, snowballed into a bunch of different stuff. Look at this. It uses Modernizer to see if things work. And holy cow, this is definitely a sign of the time.
Yeah.
How does it work?
So this was this is a trick that's still worthwhile. So if you just Google absolute centering, you'll stumble across it. Basically, position absolute and then setting all the top left, bottom right, and
yeah,
left
to zero.
To zero, and then margin auto. As long as the element has a fixed width and height, it'll be centered. So images, SVG. Works really great for, and then, you know, content with even percentage width and height.
Isn't that bizarre? The part that's bizarre about it is the top zero, left zero, bottom zero, right zero. Like, why does that, what does that do if it's not along that line anyway?
So that's just setting the bounds that it's going to be centered within.
Right.
So, you know, it's based on the parent, the offset parent. But within that offset parent, you can actually use that top left and
you can put like, if you wanted to have the bound, like, it's just, you don't think of top being used as a boundary generally,
right?
But in this case, it does do that. So yeah, that's right. A cool trick. I kind of half expected it to be the one where you use translate to pull it back half of its own width or whatever.
Yeah, that was around at the time, but the browsers, you know, back in 2013, they still had a lot of rendering bugs with Transform, especially
with
text.
Yeah, it might have been a little blurry. Or
yeah. Yeah, so that was the biggest disadvantage of it at the time. And then this, the margin auto trick, absolute centering, yeah. It actually goes back to like IE 7 or something like that.
Oh yeah, it's like super old school. So it not only works in all browsers, but doesn't have any side effects.
Hmm. Yeah, and
this is no joke of a pen too. It'd be one thing if you just absolutely centered a box in the middle of the screen and had some CSS you could copy, but that's not what this is at all. This is like digs into all the browsers that they supported and what the caveats are, and it explains it and has different demos. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this was before CodePen had posts, but this would have, you know, totally fit in with what CodePen
right.
posts became.
I wouldn't doubt that we looked at this and things like it when we were making the posts feature, because we're like,
no
look,
doubt.
People are doing this anyway, you know? Cool. Well, wow. Absolute centering. So that went well for you, and then kind of like, I don't know, that's cool.
Yeah, it helped me realize that, you know, CodePen was a community, that, you know, it wasn't just a scratch pad for, you know, putting out little mm-hmm. demos. It was actually a great place to get some interaction, get some feedback, and, you know, people responded to CodePen stuff. So that just kind of kickstarted my mind in terms of, okay, well, what else can I do with this, and how can I, you know, be a part of this community, and you know, started making more demos and sharing things from there. So that was a big turning point.
That's great. And there's been, I don't know, it looks like you notes here that, you know, you've kind of, were you an animator back then, or did animation come, you know?
I was just starting in terms of web animation. In 2013, I just moved over to agency work. So I was starting to get into, you know, a lot of flashy websites, not literal Flash, Adobe Flash, but making websites that actually had some fun elements to them, and, you know, nice interactions, good user experience and all of that. And so animation started becoming more a part of that, and I would usually use CodePen to prototype that. I think most of my first, you know, 20 to 50 pens were just prototyping some client stuff.
I think we see that pretty commonly, or, you know, and it's nice for us, you know, at CodePen itself to kind of not forget about that even while it's, you know, people aren't maybe making the full client site on CodePen, that a lot of, like, for example, client sites are kind of begin life there, or little pieces and parts of them begin life there because of its prototyping capability and whatnot, you know?
And now with web development overall becoming a lot more componentized, it, you know, prototyping in this kind of environment totally makes sense, because you can then easily, you know, import it into your project, or, you know, export it and start working with it.
This episode of Code Pen Radio is brought to you by Jetpack. That's jetpack.com. It's a WordPress plugin, you know, for your self-hosted WordPress site that brings tons of power from the WordPress.com universe over to your, you know, your self-hosted site. So their massive hosting infrastructure and all that. But it's not just, it's not just about the power. It's just, it brings like this wealth of different features to your site. So, you know, backups is one of them that we've talked about. Social media integration is one we've talked about. I just used a feature of Jetpack just the other day that I had never used before, but I found it to be tremendously useful in the moment. One is that, like, I just had a movie sitting on my desktop. You know, I record little movies all the time for something to, like, just explain a bug. Or at CodePen, we use little short movies to post to Instagram, to post to social media of people's interesting work on CodePen. Anyway, I all the time have little video clips that I want to use for something, and they vary. Sometimes you shoot a really quick clip and it's tiny. It's like 800 kilobytes or something, which for a video is really small. Or sometimes it's like 15 megabytes or hundreds of megabytes or something. You might know that on a self-hosted WordPress site, there has something to do with your host and your PHP settings and all that stuff. There's like a maximum upload size for images and video. And if you drag something too big on there, you just get like a warning in WordPress. It's like, that's too big. You can't upload that. It's above the setting that we allow. And that's fine. It's just that, like, okay, if it's a big image, find somewhere else to host it or shrink it down. It's just kind of a warning. Maybe you can get around it by making it smaller. But if it's a video, oh, maybe I'll put it on YouTube or whatever. But, like, what should I do? Make it unlisted? And then there's that whole rigmarole for uploading it there. No, Jetpack brings, like, WordPress.com video hosting, which is, like, super fast, has a really nice player. It's totally ad-free. They have their own WordPress video player, and you can just use it if you have Jetpack on your site. And there's, you know, the uploading limit isn't there. So you go into WordPress.com, open the media uploader for your site there, and drag and drop your larger movie file there. And then it's just automatically in the same media picker thing on your self-hosted WordPress site. So you're like, I was working on a Gutenberg site, and I made a new Gutenberg block for a video, uploaded on WordPress.com, but then picked the movie out of the image player there, and it just worked great. It just looked like every other video on the site. It's just that one was hosted on WordPress's servers with Jetpack's thing. It was great. It was just a nice little feature, and I was like, that works. I can use it because I have Jetpack. So thanks, Jetpack. So the animation, I asked about that specifically because that kind of became a big deal because fast forward all the way to the recent history, have this show that you do with Mr. David called The Keyframers.
Yeah, we started that early this year, and every week we just get together with CodePen collab mode for the most part, and we're just prototyping some animations and making fun things. We stream that all live on Twitch.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good format for Twitch.
It's so fun to watch. Yeah, it's awesome. It's so great to see live coding, especially with animation. It's just like such an intriguing thing to watch a person go through the thought process, collaborate with someone else just right in front of you. I love it.
The two people thing is a nice trick in that it's just almost always more fun to watch people interact than somebody just like, and then uncode on line 7.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. And they have a nice rapport too.
Well, that was a definite gap that we noticed with, you know, anyone that was live streaming code. You know, it was all kind of solitary for the most part. They'd have some community interaction there, but, you know, that can be kind of hard to watch. But with, you know, making it a more collaborative experience, you get different mindsets approaching the same problem. And you get that interaction between that, in addition to the interaction with the community. So that was a big part of why we decided to move forward with that.
Nice. And I mean, maybe a little bit before that, but you're in Houston, right?
Correct.
There's a CodePen Houston as well, right?
Yeah. Well, it started that this year. I hosted the first couple at my agency mm-hmm. job. Mainly to get connections locally. There's not a whole lot of a development scene in Houston, despite its big size. I mean, we're fourth, fifth largest in the U.S.
You never know how that goes. It's so funny. It's like I live here in Bend now, and I feel like we have a pretty okay little development scene. And I moved from Milwaukee, which is 10 times bigger or more, and it seems like we couldn't get anything going hardly there. So it's like not the size of the city. It's just very weird.
Yeah. And there are a ton of developers in Houston. I mean, most people work in, you know, at some oil and gas kind of company, but you know, there is a significant population of developers. It's just, nobody's really, really organized. So we started doing a CodePen meetup and only done it a couple times so far this year, but that was a super fun experience.
You've had a good turnout at those. I remember sending quite a bit of swag.
Yes. We were hoping for a lot more, and then the registration was, you know, very high, but the actual attendance was not those numbers.
Yeah.
So that was something we were trying to figure out.
That's the normal outcome of a thing,
totally.
You know, and there's no, I find that the percentage of signups to attendees is not a global constant, and that it's really a city constant. I find it's more likely that if you found five meetups in the same city, and they would say like, oh, we get, you know, 75% or 60% or 90% or whatever, that those meetups in the same city would have about the same percentage. But across cities, it's very different. And I just remember in doing a CodePen meetup in Washington, D.C., it was kind of the opposite, that not that many people registered for the thing, but they would just show up. And so it was opposite. More people came than registered.
Yeah, you're right. That really varies by city.
Yeah, and it's a tough problem to have either way, you know, just for trying to plan. But
click the button, people, and then come if you do. There used to be this classic, like, you just charge them $1, and then that number gets a lot more accurate. Sweet. So then, you know, we just knew you from being a CodePen community member and from the Keyframers and from throwing a meetup. And it just seems like that obviously puts you on the Rolodex. I said I wasn't going to say
it. You said it again.
I did. And then
ding, ding,
but
ding,
but
ding.
It's because it's like, you can kind of clearly tell from the show. And you know, it's nice when you know what people's skill set is already a little bit, because you're like, oh, I can watch them zoom around CSS and clearly know what they're talking about. And I can watch them reach for modern APIs and know what they're doing with them. That's nice. So we just asked if it was good timing, and it sounded like it kind of was, and we moved along with it. So that was that kind of thing. But there was a process still, you know. We've never hired anybody. We've never made somebody an offer without an interview. I don't know that happened. So there's still a kind of an interview process.
Yeah, and at my last job, agency job, I was going through the hiring process as well, like trying to bring some additional help in there. And you were talking about, you know, just being able to see what somebody's capable of before you're even reaching out or doing anything like that. And honestly, CodePen profiles were a huge asset for that. Just being able to see what people are tooling around with and what they like to do, and then, you know, what they are currently capable of. That was something we used a ton. And then the CodePen hiring process, y'all obviously had a lot of that on me already. So, you know, starting out the initial conversations, it was more like, hey, is this a nice fit? Is this something that we're all interested in doing? And it kind of went from there.
Yeah. And you'd think, oh, I don't know, maybe CodePen has some like interesting hiring process where we make you use CodePen in some way. We don't really, you know. It's mostly just, you know, I think every one of these is different. I'd like to, you know, if we were under the, you know, if we had hiring 20 people or something, which I can't possibly see the day, we'd probably have a much more solidified process. But we're kind of slowly trying to get there, have more of a thing that matches our vibe a little bit. We've done, I think it's been different for every single person we've hired, but I it's almost too bad Alex isn't on this one, because he had a, you know, Cassidy had her own idea of a thing to do, and Alex had an idea. And I just remember Alex's sentiment is like, I want to make this like kind of hard, like intentionally weird and intentionally hard, not because just to be, you know, like, yeah, this is a hard technical interview. How many marbles fit in a bus or whatever? But it was, but like, because then, and then limit the time a little bit, so just so you can kind of see how they would think about a weird hard problem, because CodePen has a bunch of weird hard problems that the day to day at CodePen is like, oh man, that one was weird, you know. It just so happens that CodePen has a pretty darn complicated app, and
it's not your typical website.
All kinds of interesting problems to solve here, and they're getting, you know, it's not getting any simpler, you know. So the thing, I think he was like a tic-tac-toe game or something that was out.
Yeah,
this big plan.
Yeah. So I went through a couple of conversations with different members of the team, and then got all the way to Alex and was you know, talking with him a bit about the technical side of things. And then he sent me over a challenge to build tic-tac-toe, but with some cross-tab communication. So that was actually the simple part. The
really
difficult part was the tic-tac-toe logic. I mean, think about all the, you know, the different states you're compensating for, and the different ways.
I don't think that was the intention at all. I thought it was, in his mind, I'm pretty sure that the weird, like, local storage API thing was the hard part, but maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, I had done not it, due to any, you know, technical prowess of mine, but just the simplicity of that was actually pretty straightforward. But yeah, just trying to, you know, make sure that all of the rows and columns were calculated for, and you know, alternating turns and all that kind of stuff.
I remember looking at the solution; it was pretty elegant in the end.
Yeah, it turned out nice.
I think it was because sometimes we use local storage for stuff. Oh, but I don't think a lot of people know that there's like an API for local storage that fires when local storage, like in another tab, changes local storage. So there's like a weird on change event for local storage. I didn't know that existed, but it was
right.
It was to simulate like, well, we don't use local storage in that way that often, but we do use stuff like Firestore, Firebase, whatever, that have like a real time component to it. So it'd be nice if you're like aware of this kind of like network and state related network e type stuff. That's pretty CodePen-y.
Yeah. And what you're passing, you know, to the other session and all of that, and validating that. That was a big part of it as well.
Yeah, so that was that. And that was kind of the last-ish thing. I mean, maybe there was a little bit more after that, but you do the, like any company probably, you do the kind of like, I don't know, feel each other out, kind of almost like culture fitty type of interviews first, you know, like, hi, do you know about CodePen? Do you like CodePen? do we think you're gonna fit here in a good way, kind of stuff?
Because
if you do that first interview and it's bad, then you're just like, all right, well, at least we didn't have to look at their tic-tac-toe code.
Yeah, it's usually good to weed out the personality fit first.
Yeah. What was it? It's been like for you, Marie?
Well, for me, it actually hasn't been, I haven't done a whole lot yet. We just had one probably like hour long session where I showed him around the support world and the social media world. And I had actually already had him on the podcast, so I didn't have to talk too much about that.
Oh, that's right. There was a Keyframers podcast.
Yeah. And so he's already got a great setup there. I did find out that he is a cat person. So finally there's another cat person on the team. It's just been me this whole time. Yes. So
yeah, Claire's just cat sitting.
Claire is only cat sitting, but yeah. you know what that leads to. So we'll see. But yeah, it was just a very brief session, but we actually kind of already knew each other a little bit because I'd had him on the show, and also we've worked together on meetups in the past.
Yeah, okay, sweet. And yeah, that's kind of our first week onboarding is usually like, okay, dev environment first, because you're a developer, so that just needs to be working and takes X amount of time, you know? But that's been surprisingly smooth. I wonder if we should do a podcast on that sometimes. Our like little setup is pretty slick these days, other than the very first, like the setting up the computer is harder than setting up the dev environment. Mm-hmm. So
Tim did a great job on that, fortunately. So I didn't have to mess around too much. I was pretty much able to get started right away.
And we do it all fancy. I don't know. We'll save it. And then, you know, they the new employees talk to everybody-ish on the team, you know, to not just say hi, but just be like, this is what my world is like on CodePen is kind of the gist of it. And then we just go from there. Everybody, we do a lot of like quickie individual meetings. Is it like a work thing with it? Happens at CodePen, or maybe it's just me, but you know, we have only have one official meeting, and then the week is just sprinkled with it's tempting to call it pairing because sometimes it is, but I think feel like pairing has like an industry meaning that is different than how we do it.
We're zooming. That's what we do. We zoom.
Yeah, we zoom a lot.
Well, there's the remote equivalent of, you know, stopping by somebody's desk to ask a question.
That's it,
know,
right?
Do a quick phone call. And then, you know, there's just the pairing, as you're saying, you know, just working through a technical problem together and, you know, finding the gaps in what needs to be done still.
So how's it been for you?
It's been a good transition. You know, it's very much drinking from the fire hose at this point, just trying to, you know, get acclimated with the stack and the different approaches that y'all take to things, and you know, just getting deeper into React land and all that craziness. But it's been smooth.
Yeah, it's kind of new to us too, because we're in the midst of a bunch of all of our projects. You know, and we've talked about this before on the show. I think a little that we're anything new that we make in CodePen is kind of in the new stack. In the new stack, even evolves a bit, but it's all React and GraphQL and all that, as you know from previous shows. So those we're trying to not only do that, but do it with all the years of experience on CodePen that we already have, and knowing like what types of mistakes that we've made in the past, and try to not make them, and that we're our own bosses, so we can kind of go slow. You know, in that we don't have like a client deadline, is what I mean by the boss thing. So we can kind of like make sure that we're doing things correctly and stuff. And so it's funny though. It's funny timing to be on where we're like. We're not just like, this is how it's done. We'll be like, hey, we're trying to figure out how to get it done, but do it.
Well, I think that's helpful, you know, to come in at that time, because, you know, I can help shape things, and everybody else is kind of learning as they go too. So yeah, I think that'll be a good setup.
Well, that's cool. It's interesting to know. I mean, I don't know how much else you have to say, but it'd be interesting to compare things. Like, I haven't gotten like a backstage look at how other companies or agencies or of any kind workflow is like, you know, like, do we do good? Or are we dinosaurs in our thing? Like, is our tooling weird? Are we?
Yeah. Coming from an agency, it's hard to directly compare, you know, a product versus, you know, just churning out client sites is just a very different process. You know, there's so much more long-term thinking with everything implemented at CodePen versus, you know, the client has a deadline and we've got to get it out no matter what at that point. So yeah, it's hard to speak too much into that.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Well, we need to take a little trip to Silicon Valley or something and peek in all these different offices and just take a screenshot of their doc.
Do we really
have
though?
All the right stuff?
Do we
do
really?
We have all the right icons down there? No, we really absolutely do not. Good. That's why we have Marie to make sure we don't make dumb choices.
I mean, I do my best.
We do need to get reined in. Everybody's job is to get the lasso out. All right. Sounds good. I think what's next is just we'll keep checking in. You know, the format of the show is we have topics, and then whoever's available and is the best person to kind of speak about that topic is who comes on the show. Marie is the producer of it, so she will continue doing that.
Yes,
and it's going to be great. And I guess we're going to have episode number 200 in two episodes. So
yeah, it won't be long.
Who knows what we'll do there?
An extravaganza, I'm sure.
Extravaganza. Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye. Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.